ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय मुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तिशक्तिकं। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 13 एंटाइटल्ड द बिहेवियर ऑफ ए परफेक्ट पर्सन टेक्स्ट 43। Kindly repeat after me. Vikalpam juhuyat chitto tam manasi arthavibhrame manah vaikarike utva तम मायायम जुहोति अनु विकल्पम जुहुयाचित्तो विकल्पम जुहुयाचित्तो तामनसि अर्थविभ्रमे मनोवैकारिके हुत्वा तम मायायम जुहोति अनु विकल्पम जुहुयचित्तो ताम मनसि अर्थविभ्रमे मनोवैकारिके हुत्वा तम मायायम जुहोति अनु विकल्पम जुहुयचित्तो ताम मनसि अर्थविभ्रमे मनोवैकारिके हुत्वा तम मायायम जुहोति अनु। विकल्पम डिस्क्रिमिनेशन बिटवीन गुड एंड बैड वन पर्सन एंड अनादर वन नेशन एंड अनादर एंड ऑल सिमिलर डिस्क्रिमिनेशन जुहुयात वन शुड ऑफर एज ओब्लेशंस चित्तो in the fire of consciousness, tam, that consciousness, in the mind, Artha Vibrame, the root of all acceptance and rejection. Manaha, that mind. Vaikarike, in false ego. Identification of oneself with matter. Hutva, offering as oblations. Tam, this false ego. Mayayam, in the total material energy. Juhoti, offers as oblations. Anu, following this principle. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki translation. The mental concoction of discrimination between good and bad should be accepted as one unit and then invested in the mind, which should then be invested in the false ego. The false ego should be invested in the total material energy. This is the process of fighting false discrimination. Purport. This verse describes how a yogi can become free from material affection. Because of material attraction, a karmi cannot see himself. Jnanis can discriminate between matter and spirit, but the yogis, the best of whom are the bhakti yogis, want to return home back to Godhead. The karmis are completely in illusion. The jnanis are neither in illusion nor in positive knowledge. But the yogis, especially the bhakti yogis, are completely on the spiritual platform, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Mamacho vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan santiyetan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down under any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Thus a devotee's position is secure. A devotee is at once elevated to the spiritual platform. Others such as jnanis and hatha yogis can only gradually ascend to the spiritual platform by nullifying their material description on the platform of psychology and nullifying the false ego by which one thinks, I am this body, a product of matter. One must merge the false ego into the total material energy and merge the total material energy into the supreme energetic. This is the process of becoming free from material attraction. Om Ajnati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshurun Milyam Yena Tasme Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupak Damayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamlam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyad Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prem Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurat Vishe Nama. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. The mental concoction of discrimination between good and bad should be accepted as one unit and then invested in the mind, which should then be invested in the false ego. The false ego should be invested in the total material energy. This is the process of fighting false discrimination.
So
this is about yogis who want to get free from all illusions. Jai Shri Shri Radha Ras Bihari Shri Gaur Nitai Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. So this is about yogis who want to get free from all the illusion, as Prabhupada is saying in the purport that bhakti yogis, they are already on the spiritual platform because they engage everything in the service of Lord. So the gyanis, so Prabhupada first says about the karmis. The karmis, they do not understand anything. They are completely in illusion. They see everything as good or bad according to their own misconception. So they see everything as they discriminate between good and bad. They see everything as good and bad based on this misconception. Actually, they have a double misconception. Misconception of good and bad and misconception of their conception of good and bad. So they have double misconception, at least to say that, maybe even more. So what they can see only is sense gratification or anything in relation to their senses, mind, intelligence. So this is the nature of the karmis. They just cannot see anything. Therefore, they are always struggling in this world. They are trying to find happiness where actually it is not. So it's just like going to a desert and trying to search for water. So they are just lost. They are completely lost. Whatever they say is nonsense. Whatever they do is useless. So this is what is the nature of karmis. But the gyanis, as Prabhupada is saying in the purport, they are little better than the karmis. They have some understanding that this world is a place of suffering, and so therefore they always try to renounce everything. They just want to stop all this suffering by somehow or other merging into the existence of the Supreme, either into the body of the Lord or his bodily effulgence. So either they want to get Ishwar Sayujya or Brahman Sayujya. So they, for this reason, for achieving this, they do austerities and they chant mantras, they do some yoga, they read scriptures, so that they can get, they can reach to this platform where they can achieve the bliss of merging, or they can achieve the bliss of oneness with the Supreme. But as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that there is a great endeavor on this path. It's not so easy to renounce everything in this world without having proper knowledge or understanding. So Lord says that it's a great endeavor. You know, they have to practice certain things, and it has to be done as per the scriptures, as it is mentioned there. If they commit slight mistake, then everything will be lost. So it's a great endeavor. And what is this all great endeavor about? To stopping their material activity and achieve the understanding of the self, that is Aham Brahmasmi. So to understand this, they have to undergo lot of difficulties, so to say, as per Bhagavad Gita. So the devotees, they know that this material nature is the energy of Krishna, and as also Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, మాయాధ్యక్షణ ప్రకృతి సూయతే స్వచరాచరం హేతు నానేన కౌంతేయ జగద్ విపరివర్తతే. సో కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ దట్ దిస్ మటీరియల్ నేచర్ కన్సిస్టింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద త్రీ మోడ్స్ ఇస్ మై ఎనర్జీ అండ్ ఇట్స్ అండర్ ఇట్స్ వర్కింగ్ అండర్ మై డైరెక్షన్ ఇట్స్ మై ఎనర్జీ కృష్ణ సేస్ దట్ ఇస్ కృష్ణ సేస్ ఇన్ దట్ వర్స్ ఇన్ భగవద్గీత దైవి ఏష గుణమై మమ్ మాయా దురత్తయ. So this verse, Krishna says that this energy of mind is extremely difficult to overcome. It's most powerful, very difficult because it's my energy. But anyone who takes shelter of me for this, it becomes just like a puddle. So crossing this material energy is like crossing an ocean. But if someone takes shelter of Krishna, then this becomes just like a puddle, you know, just like a small, you know, small pothole or something like that where water is accumulated and we can just cross over it. So this is the supreme advantage which the devotees or the bhakti yogis have. So their position is that they neither want to enjoy like the karmis, neither they want to renounce like the jnanis. So they are in between. So these karmis and jnanis, they are two opposite, we can say they are two opposite sides of material contamination. Just like yesterday Gokuleshwar Prabhu was giving a very brilliant example of that circle, and when that circle is pressed, it becomes a line and, you know, forms duality in the material world. There are two sides of that: good, bad, true, false, honor, dishonor, respect, disrespect. So although when it's in the spiritual world, it's a circle and Krishna is the center, but when it's pressed and it becomes like a line, and then arises dualities. A very brilliant example. So because of this dualities, there is this good and bad in this world. So the jnanis, they feel that I want to enjoy sometimes, but they cannot. So okay, I want to renounce. So there is some kind of why they always want to renounce, because there is some kind of happiness in renunciation, but it's not a very a long term bliss which can be experienced only by renunciation. So eventually when they don't experience this long-term bliss, or they cannot experience pleasure for a long time, they again come down to the material platform. And they again, we see that they come to the material world, it's like they again start doing material activities like opening social, doing some social services like opening hospitals and some public service related work kind of thing. So because they cannot continuously experience that bliss just by renunciation, they have to again come down. So these two features, they are the these two jnanis and karmis, they are two features of the material nature. But the bhakti yogis, they are in between both of them. So there they neither want to renounce anything, but at the same time they don't want to also enjoy like the karmis, because the devotees, they know that this material nature is energy of Krishna, and we are also, as living entities, also energy of Krishna. Although of a different nature, we are spiritual, but we are coming from the same source. So they see everything in relation to the source, that is Krishna. So just like we see so many structures in this world, you know, everything in this world is coming from Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that Bhumi Rapo Nalo Vayu Kam Mano Buddhi Revacha. So all these elements which are supplied by Krishna, which is the a gross composite of the total material energy. It's the material energy, we can say, in the basic form, that these eight elements, the gross five and the three subtle elements, they form, we can say, in the basic is the material energy. And this material energy is transformed into so many structures in this world, just like the house or roads or flowers or dams, our body, trees, everything is made from these eight elements. So these eight elements combine together to resemble so many things in this world. But the karmis, many times they think that they are the creators of all these elements. But they don't know that they are just taking these ingredients from the material nature. They are just taking these ingredients, they are assembling it, and they are making it, they are transforming it into different things which we see in the world. So interestingly, in this verse, in the starting, there is a discrimination, what is Prabhupada is saying, that the mental concoction of discrimination between good and bad should be accepted as one unit. So yesterday again, Gokuleshwar Prabhu was giving a very nice example about that mango and Kerala, you know, how a mango may be good or Kerala may be good. So, based on our experience, we may take that as good or bad. So I have seen many devotees in our ashram also who like Kerala so much. Although it's such a bitter vegetable, but many devotees like it. They really enjoy eating Kerala, and they can just eat it without even chapatis. So actually, if given a choice to them, I feel that they may take Kerala instead of mangoes. So it's just a experience, you know. So I may not like Kerala, but someone else may like Kerala very much. So good or bad is based on a person's experience in this world. So Lord Chaitanya actually told to Sanatan Goswami was coming from Mathura to Jagannath Puri to meet Lord Chaitanya. And while he was coming, so he came through the Jharikhanda forest. And while coming, he was alone and he drank some contaminated water, and he took bath in some bad water, and he didn't have any proper food to eat. So because of that, he got some itching disease or something like that, you know, and some oozes were there from which some liquid was coming from his body. So he was very much tormented by that, and he was feeling that, you know, I should just commit suicide by that, because he was feeling so much pain. So I'll read that exact verse where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so Sanatan Goswami was feeling that I should just give up my body. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to him, even if your body were material, I still could not neglect it, for the material body should be considered neither good nor bad. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually chastised Sanatan Goswami that he had this thought. Sanatan Goswami, when he was suffering with this disease, so he was staying with Haridas Thakur. So when he was staying with Haridas Thakur, so he used to go to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So whenever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually he never wanted to meet, because he was feeling that, you know, my body is so contaminated, it's full of this itching, and all this liquid is coming out of from my body. He never wanted to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And whenever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to call him, so he used to not go from the way where the Jagannath temples, that main entrance is there. Rather, he used to take a very long route. He used to go from the beach, and then he will go to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So while going also, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, where did you come from? Which route did you take? So Sanatan Goswami said that, I came from that beach. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, why did you come from there? You know, it's such a small road, you can directly come from the temple, from the front gate of the temple. So he said, no, my body is suffering from all this. And in spite of all this suffering, when Sanatan Goswami used to go through that long route, which he used to go from the beach, so it used to be very hot those times. And because of that, that sand used to become very hot, and even there used to be some because of that there used to be some injuries on his foot also. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw that there is this entire foot is kind of burnt off, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became extremely pleased, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Sanatana Goswami. Although Sanatana Goswami was, he never wanted that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should embrace him, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu still forcefully used to embrace Sanatana Goswami. So here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then ahead said to Sanatana Goswami, anything not conceived in relationship to Krishna should be understood to be illusion. None of the illusions uttered by words or conceived in the mind are factual. Because illusion is not factual, there is no distinction between what we think is good and what we think is bad. When we speak of absolute truth, such speculations do not apply. And now here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that verse which is very connected to our verse. In the material world, conceptions of good and bad are all mental speculations. Therefore, saying this is good and this is bad is all mistakes. So that verse is Dvaita Bhadra Bhadra Jnana Sabha Manodharma Ei Bhala Ei Manda Ei Sabha Brahma. So Ei Sabha Brahma. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that any conception of good and bad are all mental speculation. Therefore, saying this is good and this is bad is all our mistake. So then what is good and bad? From the material perception, if we see what is good and bad is based on our experience. So that example of Kerala and mango we can say, or there is a famous saying which says that one man's food is another man's poison. So something which is good for someone may not be good for some other person. So I have a relationship with some person today, I like that person, but tomorrow that person I feel that he is not behaving properly or something like that. Then after that my relationship with that person changes, I may not talk to him. So actually that person is the same person, but because of my own experience my relationship with him has changed. So just like that, for a devotee this is very good in the sense this verse, because for a devotee one can say that everything is good, because devotee can utilize everything in service of Krishna, and at least in the range of our experience, whatever may externally appear to be bad can be used in the service of Lord. So this idea of good and bad is just a mental concoction, or it's just a mental creation. So that if you see that many times we have some bad experience with some people, and sometimes we have good experience. So because of that, based on that, we conclude that he is good or he is not good. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or even saying Lord Krishna, is instructing Arjun in Bhagavad Gita that because yesterday we were hearing in that lecture that, and this verse is also said by the Avadhut Brahmana to Avadhut Brahmana to Prahlad Maharaj. So this verse or this chapter, entire chapter is specially, these instructions are given for person in the renounce order, sannyasis. So yesterday when Gokuleshwar Prabhu was also telling that, you know, Uttam Adhikari is a person who doesn't discriminate between anyone, or who sees everyone with equal vision except himself. He sees everyone as a devotee except himself. So Krishna also is instructing here that a pandita should see everything with an equal vision. That verse in Bhagavad Gita says that Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmani Gavi Hastini Suni Chaivasa Pakecha Pandita Sama Darshina. So a great transcendentalist, when he sees a living entity or any person, he sees two things in that. First is the super soul, and the other is that particular living entity. So that's how he has a equal vision. He doesn't discriminate between something good or bad. They have the equal vision. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is one more pastime which shows that how, or which establishes what is favorable or what is good for a devotee. So there was a very close associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His name was Raghav Pandit, and he was famous for his bags. It's called Raghavera Jhali. So he was very famous for his that bags in which he used to get prasad for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Raghav Pandit and his sister Damayanti, they are actually eternal associates of Krishna. They are Kavi Karnapur in God Ganodesh Deepika says that they both are gopis who have incarnated in this pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Raghav Pandit and Damayanti. So Damayanti, who is a sister of Raghav Pandit, she used to cook very nice preparations, and Raghav Pandit used to carry all these offerings for Lord Chaitanya in the bags, and he used to carry those very secretly. So very few people know, you know, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to take prasad or this food offered by Raghav Pandit's sister Damayanti. So he used to carry those in bags, and because of that it became famous as the bags of Raghav Pandit. So this Raghav Pandit, whenever he was not means with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whenever he had some time in the day, he used to serve. He had the deities of Giridhari, and he used to serve those deities during the day. So he used to always offer the best of the products for his deities, best of the things available in this world for his deities. And especially he used to like to offer coconut to his deities. So one day Raghav Pandit heard that from few miles away some very nice coconuts are available. So he went to fetch those coconuts, and he got the best of the coconuts. Around 10 coconuts he got, and Raghav Pandit, his devotion was such that whenever he used to offer coconuts to his deities, his deities used to actually drink the coconut water. So whenever the coconuts used to be taken back, coconuts used to be empty. So deities used to drink the water, because it used to be offered with such devotion of Raghav Pandit that the deities used to actually drink that coconut water. So when Raghav Pandit heard about this best coconuts available some few miles away, he went to fetch those, and he got those coconuts. He personally, you know, got those coconuts, and he removed the barks, and he properly shaved the coconut and made whole, and he made it ready for offering. And Raghav Pandit said his assistant to offer those coconuts to his deities. But when this person was going to offer the coconuts, he touched the, while entering in the deity room, he touched the top portion of the door. And because he touched that, and Raghav Pandit saw that, Raghav Pandit said that and that person that he touched the coconut, Raghav Pandit said that this coconut now cannot be offered. He said that because everyone is going and coming out through that door, and all the dust rises and it settles on the top portion of the door, and you have touched that door and then you touch this coconut, now this coconut cannot be offered. And without the slightest concern, Raghav Pandit took all those coconuts and just threw them off. Without even thinking that, you know, I have taken so much pain to get these coconuts and, you know, getting it ready and then offering it, he just threw this coconut. So Srila Prabhupada comments here that, you know, many times neophyte devotees also try to imitate Raghav Pandit in this way, but Prabhupada warns that, you know, we cannot actually imitate Raghav Pandit in this kind of things. So here we understand that what is good and what is bad for the devotees. So Srila Prabhupada says that whatever is favorable to our devotional service, that is good, and whatever is unfavorable, pure devotional service, that is bad. Anukullasya sankalpa pratikulyam vivarjanam. So whatever is helping to progress in our devotional service, that should be accepted as good. And whatever doesn't, that should be accepted as bad. So many, we see many philosophers, religionists, scholars, or people who are coming from some different traditions outside of our Vedic tradition, they many times criticize us, saying this, what is this nonsense, you know, your scripture, this Bhagavad Gita is based on the philosophy of war, you know, someone who is instigating war. What is this, you know, why you are keeping this as your base scripture? That, you know, Arjun, he never wanted to fight. He was seeing his relatives on the opposite side and he was feeling compassion, he was concerned for their welfare, and he never wanted to fight. And and over above, he was told that he is unintelligent. Krishna said him, he is a fool, you know. You are a fool, your arguments for not fighting are foolish. So, these scholars or religionists, they criticize saying that, you know, what is this, you know, this scripture is based on the philosophy of war. And Krishna says the he gives the entire philosophical description for instigating or for making Arjun ready to fight. So, these people who make such arguments, they do not know why Krishna generally appear in this world. So, it says that in Bhagavad Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharatam abhyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamiham and paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma sansthapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So these people, they don't understand why Krishna has appeared. So that's why they criticize. They don't know why Krishna has appeared. But Krishna, here he is saying from this verse that he has appeared to annihilate all these kings who were ruling over, and they were torturing people, and they were like demoniac in nature. So Krishna was killing Jarasan, he killed Kamsa, he killed Shishupal, and he killed many kings like that. And the war of Kurukshetra was a culmination of this killing episode which was going on. So he wanted to kill everyone in a single shot. So finally in the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna killed all these kings who were demoniac in nature. So people, they don't understand, and they think that this is how it's good or this is how it's bad. But the moral principles, or good or bad, is not dependent on our understanding. But what is good or bad is dependent on what is Krishna's understanding about that aspect or about that concept or whatever. So devotees, many times they get into trouble when they reinterpret or interpret some of Srila Prabhupada's statement. Just like Prabhupada said that, you know, you should somehow by hook or crook try to get the money from the karmis. So devotees many times get into trouble by this, you know. Although Prabhupada said that that you should try to get whatever the karmis have, that should be engaged in the Lord's service. But when we try to misinterpret it, or when we don't understand our position in relationship to our service to Srila Prabhupada, we get into trouble, you know. So we don't have to actually become crook to take, you know, to get money from the karmis. So once Srila Prabhupada disciple told me this Leela of Srila Prabhupada. So once Prabhupada, he said that he was not sure, so he said that it was in India. So he said that once Prabhupada was sitting with some of his guests, and one servant was there. So Prabhupada told him, because that guest was in a hurry, he wanted to leave immediately. So he said that, okay, I am leaving now. So Prabhupada said, no, you wait. I'll order some Mahaprasad for you. And he said, Prabhupada said to his servant that go and get some Mahaprasad from the DT room. So as soon as this person went to the DT room, the pujari was just coming out of the DT room. He just had offered, made the offering. So then he immediately came back to Prabhupada and he said to Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, the offering has just been made. So Prabhupada said, okay, get the offering then. So this devotee, he just ran off again and he directly entered into the DT room and he took the plate. The pujari was chanting his Gayatri and he took the DT plate and he came outside and he came to Prabhupada. And at the same time, that pujari, when he saw that this fellow is taking directly the offering which is getting offered now, so the pujari also ran behind. At the same time, both reached to Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada saw the situation and then Prabhupada looked and he was smiling, you know, and then Prabhupada, he didn't say anything to any of them in front of the guests. So Prabhupada gave that Mahaprasad to those guests. And so this devotee who was telling me this Lila of Srila Prabhupada, he was telling that was that devotee wrong that he went inside and he just took off the plate, or whether that pujari was wrong that, you know, in spite of Prabhupada's order, he didn't give that offering or that Mahaprasad plate to Prabhupada, or whether Prabhupada was wrong in making such instruction. So we have to be, so the point he was making was that we have to be intelligent and we have to use our intelligence and discriminate and understand what is best in the situation, and so according to that we have to make a decision that okay, this is good, this is bad. So many times when we don't use any intelligence or we do things on our own, we get into a trouble and it many times gets some bad name to us. So so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually chastised Sanatana Goswami when he was himself thinking that, okay, my body is not suitable and I can commit suicide. So Lord Chaitanya very strongly chastised Sanatana Goswami. He said that your body is my property and you cannot just commit suicide like that. You know, committing suicide like this is coward. You know, you are a coward. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Sanatana Goswami, he said that this is the purpose of my coming to this material world. I want to engage you all in my devotional service. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu already had plan for Sanatana Goswami so that he can send Sanatana Goswami to Vrindavan and he can go and excavate the pastime places of Lord Shri Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu already had some plans, but Sanatana Goswami was thinking that no, my body is not suitable, so I should commit suicide. He was actually trying to commit suicide by getting in front of the cart of Lord Jagannath. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually stopped him from doing this. So Lord Chaitanya also said that this quality of this quality particularly, that not to discriminate between good and bad, has to be specially practiced by sannyasis or person in the renounced order of life. This is very important for them to follow, and this is how they will actually develop detachment. You know, this detachment can be developed only when they practice to see everything with equal vision and not to discriminate. It may not be possible for householders because many times they have to deal with good or bad, but the principle can be the same, that what is favorable and what is unfavorable. But of course that good and bad may come down to some material level because they have to deal with many things which are on a material platform. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that because of this practicing of equal vision and not discriminating between good and bad, one develops detachment, and because of detachment, detachment is a feature of happiness, and attachment causes us suffering, because when we have attachment to anything in this world and we cannot get it, then we suffer miserably. You know, many times we want to get something and when we don't get it, we suffer miserably. It causes a lot of pain, discomfort. So this detachment is fostered, or this detachment can be developed in this material world by looking it in two ways. Like if you see anything in this material world, you can look at it in the two ways, that it's either illusion or an opportunity to serve. We can look at it like that, okay, this is a illusion or this is my opportunity to serve. So it's very interesting here that in Srimad Bhagavatam there are 5 verses which are exactly same in Sanskrit. Exactly same. There is no change. You can go and see these verses. These verses are 327:4, 3rd Canto 27, chapter 4th verse, 429:35 and 73, 1122:56 and 1128:13. So, if you go to these verses, they are exactly same. There is no change. So, if you particularly go to 1128:13, it gives the list of all these 5 verses. If you have a Veda base, you can refer to that. It's 11th Canto 28, chapter 13th. It gives the list of all 5. So, only that one verse, which is 35, which is in the 4th Canto 29, chapter 35 verse, is little different. It has 2 or 3 words different. But otherwise, all these 4 verses, they are exactly same in Sanskrit. There is no change. And I'll just read translation of one of them. So it says here, actually, the living entity is transcendental to material existence. But because of his mentality of lording it over the material nature, his material existential condition does not cease. And just as in a dream, he is affected by all sorts of disadvantages. So this is a translation for this particular verse. And this translation is same as the translation for the verse 327:4. Exactly same. Verse is same. Translation is also same. Rest, other 4 translations are little bit different. But Sanskrit is exactly same. Not even a single word. I am saying not even a single word is different. Everything is same. So these 5 verses basically are speaking about more about dream, how this person is in dream in this world. He is in dream. He is, you know, engaging in sense gratification in dream. And another important thing, it speaks about the illusion, you know, material energy, how it causes conditioned souls to fall into illusion. So Prabhupada says that everyone is in dream in the world. We are actually also in the dream. Dream in the sense that we may say that we are awake now, how we are in dream. But if we see from the point of view of soul, it's actually dream, because soul has nothing to do with this material world. So this is, although we are awake, we are in a dream. But and when we sleep, and the dream in which we go, that's a deeper dream. But this dream, which when we are awake, is a subtle dream. So, you know, this is like, Prabhupada says that this is like 2 types of dream. One is a subtle dream, in which we are awake, and we see everything. And a deep dream, in which actually we are sleeping and dreaming. So dream in the dream. It's like that. So, so how do we come out of this dream? You know, although now we are awake, so how do we come out? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gaur Chandra Bole, Kota Nidra Jao Maya, Pishachira Kole. So we have to get up, you know, wake up and chant and engage in devotional service and pray to Srila Prabhupada that, you know, I can I can somehow engage in the service of Lord, and I couldn't get out of this illusion which is there in the world. So ultimately, if we see everything in this world is good or bad? Bad? Good. It's bad actually. If we see from the point of view of soul, because soul has nothing to do with this world, ultimately everything is bad in this world. But being devotees, we have an opportunity that although it's like Prabhupada says that utilizing that bad bargain, you know, we have a bad bargain, but to utilize it to the utmost possible extent. So everything we can utilize, whatever is possible in the service of Lord. So although from an objective point of view, good and bad is mental concoction, but for devotees, they can always use whatever possible in the service of Lord. So I would like to conclude here. Any questions, comments, corrections? Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.